Part of what energized the rivalry between Bjorn Borg, who won 11 Grand Slam singles titles between 1974 and 1981, and John McEnroe, who won 7 between 79 and 84, was the contrast between the two. It would be an oversimplification to say Borg was ice and McEnroe was fire, but the temptation is there. In High Strung, Bjorn Borg, John McEnroe, and the untold story of tennis's fiercest rivalry, Stephen Tignor writes about the competition and about lots of other players who thrived while Borg and McEnroe excelled. Stephen Tignor joins me now from NPR's New York Bureau. Welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me.
Some of your readers will be surprised, I think, to learn that when he was a juniors player, Bjorn Borg was as likely to throw rackets and scream at linesmen as John McEnroe ever was. What caused Borg to change?
Yeah, he said when he was younger that he called himself a madman. He would accuse people of cheating. He lost a crucial junior match because he flipped out. He walked across the net, got in his opponent's face, and it hurt him, and he lost that match, and he decided after that he just had to control it. But he just learned from that and never did it again.
Well, he not only made the decision, he did it spectacularly. I mean, he became more controlled than any player most people had ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny to watch old tapes of him. I'd forgotten how there's no expression from one point to the next, simply walks. He could lose, you know, the biggest point you can imagine, just walks to the other side of the net, other side of the court. Nothing.
Even during the days when he was known as the Iceman, Borg was spectacularly superstitious. His fiancée, Mariana Simonescu, believed that superstitions and habits were, quote, a source of energy and concentration. Was she right about that?
Yeah, he, his parents were incredibly superstitious. They came to Wimbledon one year that he won, and they came to the French Open the next year that he won. So they decided that from then on they would alternate years, that they would go to those two tournaments. They never went 2 years in a row. And it worked. He won all of those tournaments. He took it beyond the court into just every part of his life was devoted to tennis and to having some kind of control over everything he did. Even if it was the number of towels he used on a tennis court, it always had to be two.
I think that the single weirdest story about superstitions is that his fiancée would eat candy throughout his match, and she stopped eating the candy at one point when it seemed a sure thing that he would win, and when he mm-hmm. lost a point, she took the candy, which she had taken out of her mouth, and popped it back in just to make sure.
Yeah, it was Borg's mother. Borg's mother did that in 1979 Wimbledon. Borg had three match points at the end of a long match, so she finally was sick of this candy she'd been chewing the entire time. She spit it out on the floor. Borg lost the next 3 points. She picked it up off the floor, put it back in her mouth. He won the next 2 points, so, you know, that worked.
John McEnroe, who did not begin winning Grand Slam tournaments until Borg had won most of his, said that Borg was the guy who made him feel as if he belonged at the top of the tennis heap. How did Borg do that?
And match in New Orleans in 1979 when McEnroe was young and McEnroe was going crazy. At the end of a match, Borg called him up to the net, and McEnroe was thinking, what's he going to say to me? Is he going to say I'm the biggest jerk in the world? And Borg said, just calm down. It's a great match. This is a great match. And McEnroe never really forgot that he felt that that was one. He felt that he got some recognition as a great player from Borg, just to get it from the one player of that year that he really revered. Mm-hmm. He had complete respect for him. And to get that from Borg, McEnroe said it felt like champion to champion stuff, and sort of after that he felt like he, you know, Borg recognized something in him, and that helped McEnroe believe in himself.
Just for the fun of it, could it be argued that the rivalry between Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer is as fierce as the one between Borg and McEnroe was?
Yeah, it's gone on longer, and they've had more great matches. Borg and McEnroe, they had great matches, and they were finished 7-7. So they were dead even when they finished, and they were complete opposites. They really were. Federer and Nadal are not the characters that these guys are. They're not the sort of complete opposites. But their matches they've had more great matches on big stages just because they've been around longer. Borg quit when he was 26. So mm-hmm. if he'd stuck around for 5 more years, maybe Borg and McEnroe would have. So yeah, Federer and Nadal is, you know, it's right up there with Borg and McEnroe.
At the end of your book, you describe Bjorn Borg's exit from the 1981 U.S. Open, and you write, Borg swept his long hair out of his eyes and thought, for the first time in his life, I'm free. Were you taking some poetic license with that sentence?
Well, he did say that he felt free. Some of the people around him said that Borg really yearned for anonymity because he'd never known it. He started playing tennis when he was 9. He became a professional when he was 14. And by the time he was 25, he was talking about how he just wanted to cut off his hair and go somewhere and play hockey and not be known by anybody. And he was famous when he was 14, played constantly, whether he was playing matches or exhibitions, for 10 years. It had been a long time, anyway, since he felt free from tennis or felt like he was doing what he really wanted to do.
What about John McEnroe? Has he managed to leave the game behind happily, besides these exhibitions that he sometimes plays?
I think he's done well. I think he struggled. When Borg retired, McEnroe felt like he lost his main reason for playing. There was the one guy that he wanted to play. McEnroe went on to play great tennis, but he thought he didn't really achieve everything he should have. He also won his last Grand Slam when he was 25. And felt like he didn't do everything he could have. But in the years since, I think he's carved out a pretty good life that he likes as a tennis announcer. He's in the public eye. He plays amazing tennis now. He's certainly the best 50-year-old player who's ever played tennis. he still gets angry and still gets frustrated and probably looks back on his career as a little bit of a disappointment. But I think he seems like he enjoys his life, and he's been able to find something that he really liked to do, which is, I think, is tough for some of these athletes.
Stephen Tignor is the author of High Strung, Bjorn Borg, John McEnroe, and the Untold Story of Tennis's Fiercest Rivalry, published by Harper. The author joined me from NPR's New York Bureau. Stephen, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
Out. What? The ball is out.
You gotta be kidding! The ball's in! Everyone can see that the ball's in! Chalk dust! Everyone can see that there was chalk dust! That ball was in by about a mile! You people hear...
You're listening to Only a Game.